When the melody's been written and the words have all been picked, and you hear the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn in the valley of decision. Tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices, eternity has too. This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads, and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices, eternity has too.
The straight and narrow way leads to life, and the broad way down below.
What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain, our days on earth are few. This life has many choices, eternity has too. This life has many choices, eternity has too.
And we didn't have church last Sunday, so I have to say, the previous Sunday, I made a statement, I listened to it after, that about the two different Gospels. The Apostle Paul writes, if we preach any other gospel than that which we have I've offered, then let him be accursed. So we clearly know there's only one gospel. But there's two gospels in the sense that there's two different perspectives of it. And that's what I want to touch on a little bit. It's the gospel of the gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the gospel of Paul, which is the revelation of grace. But before we get into this, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessings. So, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for opening our eyes to the gospel of the truth. Lord Jesus, if all else fails in life, if we run into whatever we run into, trials, tribulations, good things, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, we do know one thing. We are secure in you. You take care of us. You will take care of us. You have proven it time and time again. That's what you do to those that trust in you, even to those that don't quite trust in you. You still take care of us. So we thank you so much, Lord, for opening our eyes to your amazing grace. And Lord Jesus, let this grace, and let us continue to grow in grace, not only for ourselves, but for others. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. So I want to touch a bit on the difference between the gospel of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. The baptism of water and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what the difference is. Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, if you want to put that up, please. He says this, and this is specifically to the 12 disciples. And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Holy Ghost. This was water baptism he's talking about here. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We have to remember that Jesus came to fulfill the law. So he was not outside the realm of the law yet. He still had abided by the law till the cross, till he went to the cross. Then something happened there. But nonetheless, the law is extremely important for our salvation. And the reason why it's important is it shows us who we are. If we do not have the law and do not read the law and don't tell people about the law, they will never see how dirty they are. So we need the law to tell us, because the law is holy, it's pure. It's so pure, you'll never attain that kind of holiness through the law. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, this is Paul speaking. This is now something else here. See, well, he's still talking about water baptism. For Christ sent me not to baptize. The 12 could never say that. They were sent to baptize, but Paul was not. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Oh, but how we love wisdom of words. And articulate preaching. Human nature seems to gravitate towards these kinds of preachers that are really good with words. We seem to care for that. But there's something far deeper than that. So we don't care too much for the ones who are not so good with words, because they're not good to listen to. Like I used to read this guy, his name was Hal Lindsey. He was an end time writer. He wrote a lot of books on the end times. He was a really good writer. But when you listen to him, he's not so good a speaker as he is a writer. But again, it's my human nature. I want to listen to somebody who's very good with words, who brings it out. There's a flow there. And that might not even be he's just good. It's just gifted. People are gifted in the way they bring things out. And we tend to honor that. But the Holy Spirit, Paul says, he will not use wisdom of words or even one place or elegant speech. He says he came in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. So that's how he convinced many. In Ephesians 4, verse 4 and 5, there it talks about a different baptism. This is the baptism I'm after here, what Christianity is all about. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In 1 Corinthians, talking about the same thing, 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Here it is not talking about water baptism. If water baptism cleanses us and washes us, while we are living in a deceptive world, because water cannot wash away no sins. In the second Colossians 14, Apostle Paul writing, where he says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was set against us, which was contrary to us. This is Jesus who did that. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So is baptism an ordinance in your church, in our church? Do we use it as a must? If you're not baptized into our church, then you're not part of or not a member of our church. This is to anybody listening who thinks that baptism has something to do with your salvation. I will get into that a little bit in detail later on here. For in 2 Colossians verse 9, it says, for in him, not in baptism, in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and we are complete in him. There is nothing to be added here. We're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We need nothing else to be made perfect, to be on perfect ground with God. The moment you put your faith in the gospel and the Son of God is the moment you become complete. No sooner, no later. That is when you became one with Christ and you were seated in heavenly places. You don't need another thing added to you, nothing. No ritual, no ceremony, no nothing. You have it. When you became born again, is your complete oneness with Christ. That's what happened when you became born again. It's like we were cold and we mixed it with hot water and it didn't become lukewarm. We became mixed with that water and you're never able to be able to separate that. That's how truly good the promises of God are. He swore by himself that this can never be separated. And I thank God it was on his grounds and not on ours. It's been more than adequately demonstrated that there are two gospels. These gospels are different in content, conditions, destinations, and requirements, and commission. Jesus came not only to die for us, he also came to fulfill the law. And what I mean by that is he came to 3D the mirror and really show us in depth who we are, to show us that we are desperately in need of help. That's what Jesus did. The law did not quite finish the job. Jesus finished it by crossing every T, dotting every I, and he made sure that you, by obeying the law, you will fail somewhere. That's how he came to fulfill the law. Both gospels are equally true. The gospel of Jesus, I'm talking about the gospels of John, the first four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Both gospels are equally true and equally important within their own dispensation. The gospel of the circumcision, which is the Jew, and its commission was given to the 12 to fulfill the purpose and plan of God as he offered the kingdom to Israel that had been prophesied. But because of Israel's unbelief and rejection of the Messiah, king and kingdom, God called out the enemy, Saul of Tarsus, to be the apostle of the Gentiles, which we are partakers of. As a witness of the gospel of grace of God, no one else could be a better example of God's grace than Paul. He was a murderer, a killing of saints, left and right, butchering them, putting them into prison. And one day, bam, God saved him on the road to Damascus. He hadn't done one thing, to deserve God's grace. So, not one thing for God's goodness, and that's grace. Totally, completely, all of grace. So he understood grace. If anybody understood grace, the Apostle Paul did. And that's what our gospel is all about. That's where we come in. To fail to discern between these two gospels will cause one to be frustrated in studying the Bible, because you will never, the gospel of Jesus or the first will never save you. It's not you putting your trust in it and following those laws that he required, and their laws that are almost, they are impossible to follow. If you are going to try to go that route, you will find yourself ripping out any hairs, if you have any. If you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to follow that gospel with your own strength, without becoming born again, you will wind up eternally separated from God one day, because the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not meant to save you. They were meant to lead you to what the revelation Paul had. But if you believe Paul's gospel of grace and the work of the cross alone, then you have eternal life. So you ask someone what they believe. The answer will always be something like this: I believe what my church believes. And then the question is, what does your church believe? And then it goes on and on, pretty much what I believe. So we have to study to see if it is so, not to be fooled. We're good at being lazy and not studying for ourselves. We tend to want to go, what does my pastor believe? What do I believe? I don't want to indoctrinate anyone. I want you to study what I say and make sure you know for a fact is what I'm saying measures up with Scripture, not with your point of view or my point of view, but with Scripture. Does Scripture back up what I'm talking about? Is the cross the only way into heaven? Is it the only way that you can gain access to the kingdom? It's through the cross of Calvary. The revelation to me that I have gotten, it is. It is the only way, and clearly through Scripture we can see that there is only one gospel, and that is the cross of Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ. My goal is that all can see clearly and correctly when it comes to the simplicity of the gospel, that we all see the same thing. We are all desperate, in desperate need of going back to our first love and receiving that first love and telling others about that first love. Don't let it be be copped out by saying, oh, whatever will happen will happen. No, we do have a mission, and that is to tell people one way or another, however God has given us the grace, to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and about his love. Look for open doorways. Look for places where you can share the gospel with someone. There is nothing more satisfying than telling somebody about Jesus Christ and about what he's done for you. I always tell, when I witness to somebody, I always ask them a question, and then I leave it there for a bit. I will ask them, what do you think of Jesus? And the answer will always be, well, he was a good historical figure, or he was comes from a book that has been written so often, rewritten and rewritten. So I don't know why they always have that information. Has it been rewritten so often? The truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit still shines in it and makes it to become alive, and the Word of God is alive. It's not dead. So why do they always have those excuses about God or the Bible being rewritten and it's just man wrote it? No, it was written by man as God and the Holy Spirit led them. So it is the Word of God. It was directed by the Holy Spirit as they should write. So yes, I truly believe the Word of God is the map in what we need to look at to find our way to God. And the only door there is to God is through Jesus Christ. So don't take somebody else's word when it comes to Scripture. You have to do your due diligence. Find out the truth by doing your due diligence in studying the Word of God. Studying it with wanting to know the truth, because the truth then has the ability to set you free. Freedom is a huge thing when it comes to Christianity. If your church or your Christianity has tied up in all kinds of different rules, regulations, laws, and different things, then you're not free. But we are free from the sense of we are free from sin, and we can now live for Jesus Christ with him directing us from the inside out. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4, again, Apostle Paul writing here, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which you have also received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how Jesus died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that how he was buried, and that he rose again, and on the third day, according to Scripture, he rose. This is the gospel. This is what you don't find. Well, this, at the end of the Gospels, you can read about this, how this happened, but Paul had a revelation of the grace of God, and we can benefit from that revelation of that grace, which has the ability to set us free. And if this is just a good story to you, then you're totally missing the point of how desperately in need you are to be saved from being eternally separated from God. In Hebrews 6, it had the first verse, 1 to 3, it starts out that chapter. It's a very interesting chapter, but I'll just read the first part of that verse, which sort of ties in with my message here. And that'll conclude my part of the message here. is therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. He says we need to go on. We cannot just sit there. We need to go on, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We don't need to do that again. It's been laid, and of faith toward God, but of the doctrine of baptisms. There we go with that baptisms again, and of laying on hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. So if you come to a place where you need to go on, if God allow, you need to go on. You need to go away from milk and go to strong meat, which is able to nourish you and to make you into a good soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. And therefore, that concludes my part of the message. And Pastor Dave now has his part that he can bring forth to us.
Hear me. That is me. Hallelujah. You need to hear, but I gotta preach. Because it can change your life. Think about it. What I'm gonna preach today can change your life. God is a good God, first of all. He doesn't peck rules on you. He doesn't peck laws on you. He allows you to make your own choices. He said, I will put my law into their hearts and into their minds. So when the law was nailed to the cross, the law took a different place. Instead of being a law that was out there for everyone, God touched every heart with the law the person needed. So, this is what he says, I will put my law into their heart and into their minds, and they will follow them. In Proverbs chapter 28, in verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. How many got a vision here? What's your vision? You can have worldly visions. But I'll tell you what. When you get 80 years old, that worldly vision will come crashing down. And you wouldn't have much of it. Your kids, if they happen to be greedy, will wait for you to croak. But if they happen to be good, they'll use that vision for what? Maybe the furthering of the kingdom. So where there's no vision, people perish. Do you have a vision for God? Do you have a vision for the money you have for God? That's a question. One preacher put it like this. If I would look into your checkbook, that was a year ago, I could check whether you're cold or hot towards God. Very easy. Either you love God with the tangible things he gives you, or you don't. That's how he measures it. It says, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. The law was taken out of the way, nailed to the tree. Now it's not something you have to do anymore. It's something that God placed in your heart. So the message I'll have today is this. Is that law in your heart? Or did somehow God miss you? When you became a Christian, did he miss that law? Did he miss putting it into your heart? We'll find out. How are you when it comes to have a vision with your money, with the substance that God gives you that you can give back to him by giving, by furthering the kingdom of God. Tithing was an Old Testament law, but giving and tithing started with Abraham. So whatever you want to use, tithing or giving, that's your choice. I call it giving. I like to give. I don't want to sound it like I'm in the law. So I give to those who preach the gospel. And here's what happens. If the law is in your heart, because God spoke to the children of Israel, he wanted them to give so that there will be money in the temple to help the priests, to help the poor, to help those who are in need. That's what it was there for. And to keep the thing going. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Apparently, the whole Israel nation had forgotten to bring their tithes into the storehouse. So what did the priests have to do? They had to go out and look for jobs for themselves. Thus, the work of God was neglected. That's what happens when a preacher has to work for a living today. And he has a church. If he doesn't get paid, he has to spend most of his time on his daily job and doesn't have time to get into the kingdom, into the word. So you have to be careful in this. When we look at worldly kingdoms or visions, many, many people, doesn't take long, they have a business going. They have money. They have toys. They have all sorts of stuff which they never had. And it gets worse and worse. They get into the worldly situation. And God says, why do you do that? It's only temporary. Sure, he doesn't begrudge you any of those things, but they're going to disappear one of these days, and you'll have nothing. And the only thing you'll have is what you have given away. That's how it works. The only thing you'll take with you is what you give away, if it's godly stuff that you are giving away. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Malachi 3, that you may be, there may be meat in my house. Today's language, so that the gospel will be preached. Yes, don't get ripped off. Know what you're doing with your money. Have vision. Have a plan. And God will show you whether you're on the right track, if your heart is right. If you're going to scatter it all over the world, it's like using a machine gun and not pointing it in a place where it can do damage. You just shoot it in the air. Where do the bullets go? They go harmlessly. That's what happens to a lot of Christian money. They send it to people who just use it for themselves. Yes, there's a lot of good ones, but be sure. Seek God. Who do I support with the money that you give me? Because I want to honor you. I want to bring people into the kingdom. So it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven and pour you out blessings that there will be no room to receive. I don't know if I've got the right one up there. Yes, good. Hallelujah. So God has a challenge here. Bring your money to God. Let him use it. And he said, I will pour out blessings that you will not have room enough for them. When I started giving money to Reaching Out Ministries, we used to give it to different other churches. By the way, when Reaching Out Ministries at the end of the year has a little too much, we have to be careful. So we help other ministries that we feel need help, and they're usually local. So God knows what he's doing. But at the same time, you have to be careful with what you do with your money. He says, if you do it right, if that law is in your heart, and you do it from a good heart, then I will pour out my blessings. How many of you can say that you don't have enough to eat? Whenever you look on Facebook, especially the women, when they go out, oh, the smorgasbords they have on those pictures. If I would have a taste, I'd run in and eat with them. But I don't have a taste. Sorry, it'll come maybe. But you know, God wants to honor you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have the best, but keep your priority straight. Don't sling it into the world with all kinds of stuff that don't make sense. Pay attention. Seek God. Let God direct your heart in where to put that money that's tangible that you can give. And you will be blessed. There's one thing I can say for this church. My accountant told me, I have never seen such givers in my history of accounting. He's talking about you here. So he had a very good word for you. You are following God. But don't get proud. Don't get it because, hey, here's what we made and here's what we're going to give. You take out your calculator. Be a little more entrepreneurial. Try him harder. And God will show you, I can do things that you can never dream of. God is a good God. He wants to challenge you, and if you dare challenge him, he will give what you cannot contain. I remember as a young Hutterite Christian walking in the pig barn. I said, Lord, is this all you got for me? And let me tell you, maybe I shouldn't have said it, because ever since then, I've had more than I can handle. Did I ever starve? Absolutely not. Up till now, I was a little too fat. COVID took care of that part. Hallelujah. Maybe God thought I need to lose weight. But God wants to bless us. He wants us to step out in faith. Use the money for him that he blesses you with. And you will see that he will bless you. I once read an interesting story from a lady in Toronto. She had a on not Facebook, YouTube. And she said, God spoke to me. I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to use that money to further the kingdom of God. And she was good with computers. She could design computer programs. The first year she took 90% and gave 10% to the Lord. The second year, it was 20% to the Lord. The third year, it was 50% to the Lord. The fourth year, her accountant said to her, are you crazy? Why would you give your money away? Because she was giving 90% and only keeping 10. And you know what she said? If I wouldn't do what I'm doing, I wouldn't have what I got. It comes from God. And I said, God, that's a challenge to me. That's what I need. So help me, not only in money, but in my time and in my service to you. Help me to be the one that will bless you and that you can be proud of. So open your hearts to this. This is serious. It's in the Bible. God has put a law into your heart. Check your money system. Are you operating with a calculator down to the T? Or are you a little entrepreneurish? Let's try a little more. Let's try a little bigger. Try that. See what God will do. And God will come through. How do I know that? I know people who've done it. And let me tell you, God has blessed them. They went beyond their call and blessed God. Maybe not only in money, in health, in whatever you're doing, He's going to bless you. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this. Make you a blessing. Amen.
In days of peace and days of rest, in times of loss and loneliness, the rich or poor, your word is true, that all my ways are known to you. No trial has come beyond your hand, no step I walk beyond your plan. The path is dark outside my view, still all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. Hallelujah, they are known to you. I do not fear the final night, for death will be the door to life. You take my hand and lead me through, for all my ways are known to you. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever I may be, for all my ways are known to you. My eyes, so I may see that you, my God, will walk with me. Open up my eyes, so I may see that you have made these ways for me. Open up my eyes, so I may see that you, my boy, have made ways for me. And oh, what peace that I have found wherever. peace that I have found.